Up Yours show. This is your host, Garnet Lee, and John's here with me as always now, my official co-host. Good to see you, man.
Thank you. I'm not sidekick this week.
Sidekick, co-host, wingman. I mean, you could use wingman, but our respective wives probably might not approve, of the wingman thing.
They don't know about your guys' relationship then?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that.
Okay.
Sometimes she listens.
Oh, I see.
Sometimes.
So we got two great guests with us here. I'll let them introduce themselves. Who wants to go first?
Mark McDonald, director of GameVideos.com, coming soon to your computer near you. And
the same one you might be listening to.
And also the 1UP video department. So, yeah.
This is Brian Intihar, news editor for Electronic Gaming Monthly. And that's all I'm going to say.
That's all you're going to say.
We kind of rely on the talking.
Yeah, the talking is actually...
Well, about me at least.
Put your microphone down and leave now. You're done.
All right, so boys and girls, we kicked this off a little thing we like to call What You Been Playing. So who wants to start off? You know, Brian, what you been playing, man?
Well, I spent a lot of time playing Kingdom Hearts 2. I mean, I probably spent now over 80 hours playing the game. So finished the Japanese version, just finished the U.S. version, and I think it's great. I mean, it comes out in 2 weeks, so people who are interested in it really going to like it. Obviously, start playing Subsistence again.
Fans of the genre.
No, everybody will like this game. Everybody will like this game. That's all I'm going to say about that.
So you don't agree with the whole Universal Studios ad campaign that Disney is like for little kids?
No, it's not. That's the thing about the game is that you really don't have to be in that, you know, love Disney, love Final Fantasy like this game.
Yeah,
combat is the key.
If you're over 18 and you like rated R,
I'm 29 years
stuff,
old, for Christ's sake.
Oh my God, you're 29?
Playing the Little Mermaid minigame for an hour and a half. You'll love it.
First of all, half an hour, get your facts right at least before you diss it.
So what do you like about the combat? What's the combat? Is it still as button mashy?
No, I mean, there are parts where you can just button mash, but it's like a lot more complex, a lot more customizable. I mean, from like reaction commands, where it's kind of like, you know, quick time events,
that's cool.
Shenmue. And then you have like double team attacks with all like Disney characters and some of the Final Fantasy characters. And then you also have this basically leveling up Sora. Comes in three different forms and you build like two.
Whatever.
Oh,
sorry.
Whatever. Sorry. Like, why don't you go play Onimusha again or something?
Man, you're such a hater.
Whatever.
So are there new characters in there that you liked or anything?
Yeah. I mean, there's Tron. They got the Pirates of the Caribbean cast. I mean,
how do they put Tron into that?
I mean, like exactly what you saw in the movie is exactly like that. So you're
Donald Duck in a light up hat.
Oh.
And it looks awesome.
They put it in there every way. They put in Mulan and the other 3,000 Disney movie games. Yeah. They just crammed it in there.
Have you ever played the game?
All right, are we done with Brian?
This is Mark the Grinch McDonald coming to you live.
So before I get into what I'm playing, I have to make one more comment about what Brian is playing. I noticed that you didn't mention Metal Gear Solid.
I was
going to
say that, but
multiplayer
online. I was, but you interrupted me like for the 50th time. So I couldn't say that.
Okay. He started to talk about it. He did.
Oh, thank you've been playing that?
I haven't played it online yet.
Oh, okay. That's kind of what I was talking about. So we have this kind of thing about Subsistence, which came out, which is a game that we both love. But Brian is under the impression that the online multiplayer game is really good.
Are we going to get into this again?
No, I'm going to just summarize.
I think you already have.
I'm just summarizing how wrong you are. And, and me
just like you were really wrong on Onimusha. That's right, right. Just like you were wrong on Onimusha.
Right. Yeah. It's funny that you brought up Onimusha. Maybe if all the listeners can write in and after
please,
they read Brian's review and my review and see who they agree with.
I will comment today till tomorrow, till the rest of the weekend.
I got to ask, because I missed part of the argument. So just give me the 2-minute
nutshell.
I will.
Argument.
Onimusha is crap. Mark thinks it's great.
Or are you talking about Metal Gear?
Metal Gear.
Sorry. Yeah.
Onimusha was kind of ass, actually. But the second one was okay.
You. No, the fourth one sucks.
Yeah. Well,
so Metal Gear, it's basically clunky. The online game, they basically screwed it up. They don't know what they're doing, really. They haven't played SOCOM or any other game.
Skip's like walking the middle line. You're like right down the middle of the table, huh?
Right.
Yeah, it's okay, but you know it's not so great. But it's Snake.
It's got weird things about, you know, it's on the select button. You can't look and move at the same time, so everybody's constantly running around looking. Going in and out of first person is awkward. You get shot. There's no reason to ever stop moving. You can't look and fire at the same time.
I was sniping all the time.
Okay. So anyway, that's that argument in a nutshell.
You're going to let him do you like that?
You know, I've talked about this for, 2.5 months now. I'm so exhausted. I mean,
right,
it's going to be
enough.
Is it on the One Up Show?
It's got a lot of good ideas.
Enough.
Yeah,
fair
there's
enough.
A new episode in the One Up Show. It's got a lot of great ideas. Just the controls are clunky. That's it.
So, yeah. so outside of calling Brian out
Bagging
for
on Brian's crap.
Calling him out for Metal Gear.
If I know Mark was going to be the show, I think I went and showed up today. I don't know.
You got to look into it. They're kind of fun.
Yeah, I don't play games anymore. I just professionally berate Brian.
Exactly.
I just wait for Brian to finish a game and put down the controller, and then I'm like, what do you think about it? And then he says, and then I just go off.
Here's why you're wrong.
I prepare a thesis about all the ways that he's
wrong. And he doesn't even play the game.
That's what I spend my day doing. No, I'm playing. I've been playing Graw, which I'm excited to start playing because I wasn't on the review. Which I've only played online. I've played through the tutorial so far, but I'm really enjoying it. It hasn't completely like taken my world by storm or
like
whatever,
everybody
else
but in the office,
but it's cool. It's
you don't
fun.
Agree with that either.
Apparently. No, I mean, I saw, you know, the guys when they were reviewing it play it, and you know, they were showing me some things, and I'm not a big Ghost Recon fan, but after seeing that game, I definitely at least try it. I mean, it's good
really
enough for that.
Good. I mean, it's gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, it's up there with SOCOM now, I think, on the multiplayer. There's a lot of stuff in the multiplayer that you can't do that you can do in the single player, so it's a bit of a, you know, there's like a lot of the hiding.
I did notice that bothered me. A big aspect of single player is leaning up against walls
you can't
around
do that.
Corners, and you can't do that. Which maybe it's better that you can't do that because it might break multiplayer, but it's weird.
So we were playing the other night, and some of the problems with the multiplayer came up, and that trying to host a 16-player game is almost impossible.
I heard everybody keeps dropping out.
So we were trying to do these co-op territory games where you're holding a territory, and there's just like hundreds of bad guys running towards
you. They just keep coming at you.
Well, so, I mean, it would be great. So 16 of you spawn, and it's great, and you're like, oh, I'm in this like little army, and we're all going to go. And then, like, half of them just drop dead in front of you because they all lost their connection.
That's another weird thing. When people lose their connection, they don't just disappear. They die. So it's, like, the most horrific. It's like, it's like blah, 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 but, like, you know, six guys are dying all around you.
You think you have a bit of a, you know, a bit of a rest before they start piling in and shooting at you. And so your first inclination is, why did half my team just drop dead? Where's the sniper? What's going on?
Right.
And it's not. It's because your buddies just disappeared. And, you know, you can't invite. If it's a 10-15-minute game, they can't come back. Which got a bit frustrating because if it happens to you 2-3 times in a row, you're just like,
I'm not going to do this anymore. Well, it's probably because anybody's playing on 360 is Graw right now.
So that's that Counter-Strike lockout.
I just got an email from Chell at Ubisoft who said that they sold in the US 240,000 copies of Graw. So it's like
first week.
It's the first week. So
hasn't even been a weekend yet. It was on sale last week.
Ghost Recon, Ubisoft's fastest week one selling game ever on all platforms.
Awesome! Congratulations, Ubi. That's a That's a hell of a number.
And for a brand new plan, I mean, that just shows.
Splinter Cell.
That tells people are dying for new games.
Well, what we talked about last week about people just hungry for 360 games. I mean, it's very good, but I mean, it proves the sort of power of the audience right now.
Right, right. Which incidentally, we left off Battlefield 2 Modern Combat coming for 360 next month.
Yeah, it's like early April.
April 10th or 11th or something.
Yeah, we kind of forgot that one in there. What else? What have you been playing?
I'm also playing Graw a lot. And then yesterday I was looking around on GameTab at the games that were reviewing really well this week, and I saw that both Siphon Filter and Daxter on PSP had reviewed really well.
Something good on PSP, holy cow.
So after you brush the dust off your PSP.
So I brushed the dust off
my PSP. What are you guys talking about?
What are you playing on your PSP?
I got a backlog of like 20 games I don't even have time
PSP,
to play.
You know.
So Burnout, anyway, SOCOM.
There's some great stuff. But anyway, so I was looking at the reviews, and both of them were averaging in the 9s out of 10 on GameTab. GameSpy gave Siphon Filter 10 out of 10 and said it was the best game on the platform. So I'm like, well, I have to check this out. So I grabbed a copy, took it home. I played Siphon Filter for an hour last night, and I could happily never play it ever again. I don't know what. I mean, I can appreciate that it's a very interesting stealth action shooter, but it's still got a lot of the issues that the old Siphon Filters had. It's difficult to control. And
do you know offhand, Brian? The game is out, so what did it score in AGM? Do you know?
I don't know. I mean,
One Up gave
we just reviewed it.
One Up gave it 8 out of 10, which, I mean, personally, I think he's generous, but fine. I just didn't connect
just
with it.
Just the 10 out of 10.
But 10 out of 10, I was waiting for its brilliance to become apparent, and it just didn't. Daxter, on the other hand, I do see where the excitement is. I don't think there's been some commentary about it being possibly the most important game on the platform right now. I don't really agree with that.
No.
It is very good, though. It's got sort of little bits of Ape Escape, little bits of the Jack franchise. It looks really nice. It's really slick with the voiceover and everything. But I don't know. I mean, it's very good. But I don't know. It's
it hasn't really redefined. Daxter is not going to be the PSP mascot, you don't think? This isn't the game that's going to make everyone associate Daxter with the PSP like Mario with the Nintendo systems, right? Nah. I mean, people are, for whatever reason, saying that, but I think that seemed a little silly.
And the other thing, Burnout Revenge 360.
So Skip and I have like an afternoon blow-off Steam match of Burnout Revenge every day, just 10 minutes.
Which I was sort of expecting to become a little tired of Burnout Revenge, but I'm playing it on the 360.
It's a blast.
I'm definitely having a good time with it, particularly multiplayer.
Would you spend $60 on it? After having
I would happily spend $60 on it if I hadn't played the PS2 one to death.
If you're into live play, I mean, the whole setup at the beginning with the revenge rivals and stuff is really cool.
The rival system's good, and I think the achievement system is really good. There's some really interesting, like, sort of the structure to the achievements is really interesting. The things that it wants you to do are a little less traditional than a lot of games.
So I got to ask, when you were, like, you know, years ago, PC gaming, did you ever play adventure games?
Yeah.
What did we see in those? I don't get it. So I got a wild hair this week. You know, Dreamfall's coming out like in when's that coming out, Skip? A couple of 3 weeks? And so that's the continuation of the Longest Journey series, which was supposed to be like the last great adventure game. Mm-hmm. So I got a copy of that, threw it in my PC, started playing it. And I, for the life of me, can't remember how we ever enjoyed solving puzzles to get a clamp so that I could put a clothesline on the end of the clamp and put a rubber ducky inflatable around it to hold it open and pull a pin out
that's
of
like
it.
Like,
what on earth is this mess?
You're describing the death of the Monkey Island games because the puzzles in that got so utterly ridiculous.
I think my favorite adventure game puzzle that I will remember until the day I die, there was a game for the Apple II called Kabul Spy. And it was basically one step evolved from the pure text games. It was text and then the, you know, the picture would change.
It was like the Scott Adams stuff.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Nothing would animate. It would just, the picture would change. And my friend, John Sauda, was stuck in this game for like 3 months. And he was in a field of tall grass in Kabul. He'd made it to Kabul, Afghanistan. And finally, and like the Soviets is during the Cold War. It was probably like a 1985 game or something. And what you had to do, like, apropos of nothing, completely out of nowhere, smoke grass. And if you smoked grass, a manhole appeared, and you went down the manhole and, like, did the rest of the game. Like, that's out of nowhere. It's just you're in a grassy field. Smoke the grass.
Of course. Cool. Why wouldn't you think of that? So no hate to the Longest Journey fans. I appreciate that it was, like, you know, the last great adventure game. I will soldier through it just so I'll have the basis for Dreamfall, but wow. The world's come a long way since doing strange things like that. And on that note, we'll move over to talking about the big PS3 announcements, because that's from last gen to next gen. So, Brian, what do you think?
I think it was just the whole day, the 24 hours, so funny. In the morning, you hear, you know, oh, it's coming out, you know, now 2007. You have all these analysts writing all these reports.
And
it's like, it's going to launch in November in Japan, then 2007, and all these analysts are like, you know, going crazy with their big stories. Then wake up the next morning and boom, it's like, you know, worldwide launch November 11th, and you know hard drive included, and it was amazing how much, like, you know, people were going crazy. Nothing, no new games were shown. It was just kind of like, it's little announcements here and there.
I mean, they didn't tell us that much that wasn't already out there.
Yeah,
I mean,
they confirmed a lot of speculation.
I was wrong last week. I said it was going to be March. I'm actually pleasantly surprised that they didn't push it back that far.
But what do you think about a worldwide November launch?
I think a worldwide launch is irrelevant. It's just arrogant. I mean, it's what Microsoft did was arrogant. It's like, here, everybody, we're going to shortchange all of you.
Yeah. except Japan, where you're going to sit on warehouses.
Right. So a million units a month, which means that the launch PS3 in the US will be lucky if there's 400,000 units in the country, which means it'll be on sale for about 20 seconds.
I don't even know if they'll meet those numbers, because if you look at the PS2 launch, it launched in March. In Japan, then it was October 26th, and they had, was like 6-7 months, and they could only produce 500,000 for the U.S. market. Now they want to do three territories at the same time.
Also Microsoft with the 360 lowered their projections before it came out. Oh, we're only going to have half as many.
If you're lucky enough to have one, I mean, you could sell that thing for I'm telling you, you can sell it for $1,000.
Well, there, yeah, I mean, the really important thing we haven't talked about yet, and that is that the it's now entirely price sensitivity on this thing. That, I mean, I think they have to do it. It's got to be $399. It can't be any more than that, or like.
I can't imagine it being that cheap, though.
You know, I say $499 just keeps ringing in my head. $499
because like, I mean, I think because you're
they
right.
They know they can sell it for $499.
But it'll be interesting if it's. I think it has to be one of those two. I can't. Like my brain tells me it's a video game console. Even $399 is
right.
really up there.
But so we've already heard from a lot of developers saying that the first round of games are going to be basically the 360 games ported. So they have an uphill struggle saying, "Here's our machine. It's $100 more and a year late, and here's the exact same game."
But like just the Blu-ray drive.
Oh, that's even
going
to play. That's so going to play to Microsoft. I mean, because if they're short on stock and Microsoft has the warehouses full and the games are all the same, mm-hmm. why on earth am I not going to buy it
Waited? Which is why I think it can't be $499.
Yeah.
But can they do what about the Blu-ray drive? Blu-ray? And I'm still unclear, actually, if the hard drive, like Sony, they announce these things and then say something and don't really tell you anything.
Like HDD is required.
They say HDD is required. Doesn't seem clear to me whether it's included in the box in the price and that.
Or do you
sort
have to
stuff.
Buy one that goes with it and you get to pick what size you want?
Yeah, I mean that just seems weird. Like if you want to play games, you have to buy the hard drive. Like otherwise, it's just a Blu-ray thing or what? Like what?
I think it's the beginning
possibly...
of an uphill struggle for them because talking to some developers, here's the thing that's going to happen: there are going to be fewer exclusives, and if you're designing a game, so it's going to be a competition between 360 and PS3. There's not going to be the revolution because it's a separate entity of its own, right? And you're not going to develop something that takes advantage of whatever the PS3 advantage is or whatever the 360 advantage is because you want to sell to both markets.
Well, but that's kind of true, but that didn't always happen with the Xbox and the PS2.
Same thing.
Everyone still wanted the Xbox version,
but the Xbox
it was the better version.
But the Xbox came out considerably later and was
it was just a year different.
Yeah, it was the November same situation.
October 26, 2000, November 15 or 18, 2001. I mean, they launched. I mean, it was within a year, so.
Right. So, I mean, I think in a lot of the PS2 games did hang with the Xbox games, but it was pretty much like you're going to get the Xbox version.
There were plenty of Xbox games that you would have thought should have looked better, but then when you play them, looked like PS2 games.
Well, that's because, I mean, companies
can't. There were some of those, for sure.
You're not going to spend the money to develop. Develop these games.
Which is what I was saying,
and
that's going to be compounded by how much more expensive it is now that you're talking about high-res art and all the in-depth, size of the production team it takes to put together these new products.
This is there's lots of things all colliding at once right now, and it's like the games are getting more expensive. They're $10, $20 million to make. The hardware is going to be expensive. I mean, we may see a slower growth pattern, I think, with this generation. I mean, there's what? I think they've sold through 1.5 million 360s in the first 6 months worldwide, mm-hmm. which is pretty good. But, if the games are going to be expensive and they're expensive to make it's like, I mean, how it's everyone's obsessed with going mass market and mainstream. Well, a $500 box and expensive games isn't going to get you there very quickly. But day one, it'll sell out regardless of what they charge for it.
They could charge $800 and it'd sell out, so.
Right, so I feel like I'm getting the radio thing now. The producer's going, break time. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll hit the fourth dimension. You're listening to the 1UP Yours podcast on the 1UP Radio Network. We know you have ears because you're listening to this show, but you also have eyes, and you might want to check out this little thing we'd like to call the 1UP Show. You may have heard of it, you may not have heard of it, but if you have or haven't, you should check it out. It has its own space in our network as well. It's put on by Ryan O'Donnell and the rest of the fabulous video team here, so give us a watch, the 1UP Show. All right, and we're back, and we are ready to hit the fourth dimension. Whatever that. I feel like I'm like Buckaroo Banzai now. What? You don't know what Buckaroo Banzai is?
Whatever it is, it sounds funny.
Skip's a young man.
we have to do movie night around here, don't we? If you haven't ever seen John Lithgow. Anyway, Buckaroo Banzai, I have the like collector's DVD. We will definitely, we'll hook you up with like one of those horrible sci-fi cult classics. You know Buckaroo Banzai, right?
I'm aware of it.
Senator, I am aware of the existence of Buckaroo Banzai, yes.
All right, so, the hype train. What the hell? The fourth dimension. Come on.
It's the same crap. It's the same stuff that you hear.
Correction,
Sony.
No, it's crap.
It is crap.
It's utter crap.
But it's I'm so used to it. It's like, remember the Matrix? Enter the Matrix. How we were all going to be like digital beings with the PS2 and. Who knows what the hell they're talking about sometimes. Like,
or like the emotion. If I hear the emotion engine crash.
Emotion engine stuff. Whatever. 300 frames a second. Like, you know, it's just the kind of stuff that they say it and then we talk about
so
it. And
I don't know. It was such nonsense. I don't remember what the justification for it being. There's something about, well, presumably space and time. But what? I mean.
It's like the big difference, you know. So it was from PS1, it was to 3D. All right.
No, oh, yeah.
It was like 3D, and then PS2 was true 3D.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that is. And then now they got to go something else.
Well,
you know?
One more, huh?
Yeah. Oh, maybe they've discovered the internet.
They apparently have.
Yeah.
But we can't talk about that too much because people get upset.
Oh, the whatever. The PlayStation Network platform. Wow, that's an imaginative moniker.
I just don't. I can't believe they don't have, like, they didn't think about this years ago and they have this all working for PS2 because they could have. I mean, they're still, whatever they launch with Xbox Live, I still think it's going to be way ahead of it. I mean, I just think if Microsoft did anything right, it was Xbox Live. I mean, that is, I don't know what you could find fault with it. And in fact, you know, just that people else haven't ripped it off.
PS3 cracks me up because in many ways it goes down the PC route. So on the hardware side, they didn't have enough graphics power. So what did they do? They went into the PC market and went to NVIDIA and bought this hot shot, you know, video card that's in PCs to cram into a console. And now they've gone with their online. They've gone to SOE, who's their, you know, online PC side, and GameSpy to put together basically a glorified matching service and call it the PlayStation
Network
platform.
The interesting thing about the PS3 network is that I think we'll see MMOs on it much faster. Because one of the things that's scaring people off of Live is, you got a closed system and we want to plug another closed system into it, so we're going to bill you twice.
And you can definitely see SOE influence there.
Yeah.
But I think, but the question is, how do you do it? How do you have a unified one login thing without going into that kind of system? Without having an Xbox Live like closed system, how do you have a unified login?
Well, that's the fourth dimension.
Structure. So that's the big question. I mean, that's the thing that's one of five reasons I can't stand playing any PS2 game online.
Yeah,
it's just such a nightmare. But that's the big question. Well, one is that you can't just turn on your system and go in and mess with either your settings.
Yeah.
That you have to have a game disc. You have to go into the game, then you have to go back out and change it. You have to da-da-da-da-da-da. The other is like how it works with the memory cards, how it only works on that system.
That's
probably more a problem for us than the average person because we're using different systems a lot.
But I mean, that's indicative of one of the many annoying things about the memory cards is an interesting one. There's nothing more annoying than plugging your memory card into a game and it's saying, oh, I don't have enough space. And then you have to turn the game off and you have to go and pull the stuff off and like...
Oh, sometimes you have to go onto the company's website through the PS2 and like register like Ubisoft or Capcom games. Mm. And some of the Capcom games and even the early
Capcom
SOCOM
doesn't know what they're doing online.
But even earlier SOCOM games, you count the number of button presses you need to get from turning the thing on into the thing. I counted with Resident Evil Outbreak, I think it was like 24 or something like that. It's like, yes, DNA,
it's a very important
yes,
number.
Yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. Yes, next page. Yes, I agree. It's
EA
crazy.
Is the same way. EA is very similar when they set up their sports stuff, their logins. Oh, like it's
a nightmare. So,
there's no hotkeys to put in your email address, and I'm like, oh my god, it's going to take forever.
Yep.
What's cool with that, and then so compare that to the Live system, whereas on 360, if you sign up for an EA game just through Live, which is totally seamlessly in your Gmail or whatever email you've used, and the next day you see a note, oh well, thanks for signing up for EA, you didn't have to click through any of that madness.
Right. So I would hope that they have their. It's weird because. That's going to be something interesting
stuff
to
at
see.
Least. That and being able to bill you through that, I think, regardless of where you are. I think, I mean, everyone acknowledges now that in a platform environment like this, you have to be, you know, one person with one name and not, you know, variations on the spelling in every game.
Right.
So that stuff's going to pass through. It sounds like some of the stuff that you were talking about PS3 should address. I mean, I think the PS3 is going to be a network-aware device right off the bat. So you're not going to have to worry about the memory card issue or the going through front. You're shaking your head. You don't think
all about this PS3 network and they're kind of, I think people are forgetting that as much as they want to do all this stuff, they're still going to have a lot of growing pains.
Yes.
In terms of like, like no matter what they try to this stuff, I mean, it took Microsoft a couple of years to kind of really get Xbox Live and the launch of 360 to really nail it. Even, I mean, Nintendo and Sony are going to have major, major growing pains getting their
systems
online.
Well, Nintendo's going through it now.
Yeah.
But I think Sony's going to make is smarter. They're going to make a better jump.
I hope.
I agree.
I hope.
PS3. What I hope it is,
I just want it to be more seamless. I want it to be just, I want to pick it up and do just kind of Xbox Live. It's so easy.
You know what? They're not going to do that, though, Brian. I mean, that's one thing I'm really seeing from what they're talking about. They're not doing Live. They're doing a more of a PC structure like approach, which, like John said, gets the MMOs more comfortable.
See, I don't think so, though. I think they are going to do something like Xbox Live. I just don't know how they're going to rectify against, because, and they've said already, we don't want to, they're not going to do the billing structure the same. They have to somehow rectify having one login with you still, EA still gets you.
Still,
and they still
EA
get your ad
servers.
Dollars and whoever else does it. So they need to bill it with that. But I think it is going to be Xbox Live in terms of having one login, finding your friends, having achievements even and stuff like that.
Well, so the thing they're going to have to work out there is they're going to have to come up with some sort of communication network, and maybe it'll run side by side with the game that lets you have a personal presence on their server while the games are still running on the corporate, you know, on the publisher
servers. Yeah, that's, I don't know, understand how it's going to work.
Because the publisher is still going to be accountable for their servers, which is, you know, that's the fundamental difference, which is, it's a big difference. Because I still want to be able to page you if I'm playing Oblivion and, or if I'm playing, you know, Burnout, and you're playing Oblivion and say, hey, dude, come play some Burnout with us.
That's, or if he's watching a movie online.
Or if he's watching a movie.
He's watching a movie. He's plugged in. He should be able to message him.
That's very cool. I forgot about that.
That's what PC games really have, like, so much so much of a head start in a lot of ways online, just the fact that almost all PCs are online and stuff like that. But as the consoles catch up with stuff like Xbox Live and stuff like that, I think it's going to really start limiting the PC audience, the fact that you can't just find your friends. That's going to become a bigger and bigger and bigger thing, and everybody has a different name in every game. And
have you seen
X-Fire? No.
Okay, so there's a program called X-Fire. If you're not familiar with it, you could check it out. But it runs sort of like a messenger client and does exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So whoever, if one place like unifies all of that stuff, becomes like the de facto standard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that'll actually happen.
Now everything that Microsoft makes has Live in the name of it. And I think when Vista launches, I think we're going to see a lot of that stuff.
Right. So I think what might happen is it just gets segregated by, you know, the WoW community mostly uses this, and this game uses that, and I mean, who knows? Well, it'd be interesting. I don't think they're ever going to approach something that a console maker can do just because it's like a closed system. So I think, you know, maybe one day, eventually, two or three systems down the line, like consoles, might become more online system of choice.
How do you guys think Microsoft is feeling this week now that some more details have come out?
I think that, like, you know, when they maybe heard of a delay, you know, it's like, oh, it's like, oh my God, like, we might have Christmas all to ourselves. Because, you know, Nintendo's kind of in their own little aware. And it was like being let down at Christmas, like, oh, like, I can't believe they're going to launch right next. You know, they're going to be right there. So, I think Microsoft all along thought they were going to launch. You know, they were going to do it, you know, that's November. We were all sitting there at E3 last year when they said spring 2006. We all laughed at it and go, come on.
Right.
Yeah, come on. You're just saying that so people might think about not buying a 360. And that's the only reason why they ever announced that date. I mean, they were never, ever going to launch in spring. I mean, I talked to every single developer at E3 that are like, PS3.
Whatever.
Thinking about it right now.
I'm guessing, though, that they were, I'm guessing two things. One, they were really surprised that it's launching on all three territories at once. Really surprised. No one would have guessed that it wouldn't be Japan first.
Yeah.
And two, I think whenever anybody says stuff like, oh my God, 60 gig hard drive, oh my God, this, oh my God, that, that they're just thinking to themselves, okay, but what's the price? Like that's what they can, you know, still hold out for is the price.
But you know what's funny is that, you know, last generation it was PS2 with the optional hard drive, and every Xbox came with a hard drive, and they've almost switched philosophies with this generation. Well, now PS3's, you know, has to have a hard drive, and now Microsoft's, well, we really don't need it. It's just that's interesting dynamic that they actually kind of changed philosophies. You know,
each of them, it's like grass is greener. Both of them were looking over. Like,
I think we'll see Microsoft quietly shifting.
They have, yeah.
Well, and the hard drive component is modular on that piece anyway, so...
Quietly shifting to
have to have hard drive.
Yeah, for digital distribution.
Games that...
Because, they've been, you know, quite vocal about their digital distribution strategy and how physical media is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And
they have also said, though, that no game, even though it's already happened, will require the hard drive. There's like some European soccer game, I think, that
the
requires
soccer manager game.
Well, FF11 does requires as well, right?
True. Actually, so there's no
Square
way that
they give Square their own rules. Square can do whatever they want,
right? Yeah,
have that support.
So to catch up on something I mentioned last week too about money, I did a little research and actually Sony did post a profit this quarter. It was expected to be a 10. I wish I had written it down. Anyway, they were expected to have posted a $50 million loss or something along those lines, and they were actually able to post actually a $500 million profit because they've done a tremendous amount of cost slashing in their business, and they have a new LCD television line that's selling like gangbusters. So that's the Bravias. Mm-hmm. So they may be able to absorb some loss. So what we were talking about last week was how much can they afford to lose selling PS3 initially?
Right.
And I was saying, well, maybe they can't afford that much. Well, if they go that route, they could be more aggressive with the pricing because they have been making some money again, which is not such a bad thing. Or maybe, as you were saying, Nintendo to the rescue.
Potentially. I mean, no one's talking about the revolution right now.
I think it's going to change maybe after GDC and I think definitely after E3. I mean, I think that is going to be the talk.
I mean, I think
we all kind of we know what to expect from Sony. We know what to expect from Microsoft. And Nintendo's like that big question mark. And you're just like, it could either be really, really cool.
So Nintendo could say
or it could
Christmas.
Be like, oh, God.
Yeah, especially if, I mean, that's a whole different thing. Especially if PS3 comes in $399, $499, you know, the consoles have usually launched generally within $100 of each other at the most.
Yeah.
If Nintendo comes in at
$200, $250, $200,
I don't
think it's going to be $200. I think it's going to be
$250. Even
$250. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's like,
it's smoking
that's
hot.
That's a whole different. You know, dynamic. It's a whole different audience. It's
well, they're
a whole
doing
kind of
what they did with the DS, where they're separating themselves from the big fight and just saying, we're going to do this, and they may not deliver on the vision immediately, so we might be scratching our heads for 6 months. But, I mean, look at the DS now. Yeah. Now we know what they were talking about.
And I think they will. I think you're right. They totally didn't with the DS. It basically took Nintendogs to come out to really say, this is what the system is about. But I think they will absolutely come out with that game at launch for Revolution.
I think they'll be
exists somewhere now. Yeah. And I think also Zelda GameCube will have that functionality to work with it.
So does Iwata drop a GDC Wednesday ton next week?
Maybe, but I think what's going to happen is they're gonna show that everyone's clamoring for like mainstream and, you know, it's all about video games being part of the mass market. And I think Microsoft and Sony are chasing this like do everything box and it's all about expense and glitz and glamour. And then Nintendo's going to come along and do what is really mainstream, which is just provide stuff that a lot of people want to do.
Imagine that. Yeah. What a concept.
But I think remember that commercial they showed at TGS where just all the people kind of, you know, doing like all these weird acts, like, you know, it's from like cooking to surgery. And like you said, everybody's going to want to do that stuff.
Right.
And I think that's when Nintendo's...
That's real mainstream.
But that's
everyone
thing.
Exactly.
And Reggie brought that up and said, like, Microsoft keeps talking about mainstream game. You know, we're going after the mainstream with this. We're going after moms and grandmas. And we want to. But then what they show you, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, this is cool. I'm into it because I'm a gamer. But this is not mainstream. Nintendo, at least when they say that, they're for real. Yeah. Like, Nintendogs, that is mainstream, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The stuff that they're showing with the Revolution.
Brain age, yeah.
They are going after that market like nobody else is.
It's like saying a $69 game or a $60 game is never going to be mainstream ever. You know,
the conversation we had yesterday.
Yeah, you can't say we're going mainstream and put prices up. They have to come down.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look at the DVD market. That's the bellwether right there for that. Yeah. When DVDs were $24.99, they were sitting on shelves, but now you know when you can go to Fry's, my DVD library has expanded dramatically since I could go to Fry's on a sale and get $9.99 DVDs. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah, it's interesting. One thing that I just thought of when somebody was talking about GDC predictions. I hadn't really thought about it what the big three are going to do to sort of one up each other at GDC. GDC now becoming like a little mini
E3,
like a pre-battle. And I hadn't thought about it before, but I wonder if Nintendo would show Zelda with the Revolution functionality. So sort of it would be showing a Revolution game, sort of, but without actually showing what the Revolution, because they're not going to do that.
And
but
after
they're
that,
have
how
some
much,
type of they're not going to show what Revolution is really capable
but
of.
But they're going to show some type of demo. Like, I think they got to show something.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's a
maybe an excellent point.
That would be and how much Microsoft or Sony message would get through after they showed that? I mean, yeah. The buzz would be 100%, oh my God.
Because we kind of, like I said, we know what to expect from these. We know what to expect from Sony.
I think Sony's going to be a lot more explicit about its online.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be all about the entitlements.
And
the worst
Microsoft
name ever.
Is going to be all about the games. They're going to show us Two Human and Mass Effect and
Gears of War.
Gears of War again and, you know, and the Pinata thing.
The Pinata thing. So what do you think about the Pinata thing there, by the way? What on earth did Microsoft buy in Rare?
I don't know. I mean, I saw it. We didn't play it. We saw it for a while. I have a hard time believing that a bunch of English guys came up with a game about pinatas.
As an
what,
English
you guys don't have margaritas
himself?
And burrito Thursday?
Well, I mean, I'd never seen a pinata till I came to America.
Well, that kind of kills that. Well, it's the Banjo-Kazooie team. Obviously, they knew all of them.
I think it's admirable, but that they're doing a Animal Crossing, Pikmin, Harvest Moon, Tamagotchi, Pokemon smash up everything.
Because, of course, that's the right platform to put that game on.
Well, they need it. I mean, they need to broaden it, and I think it's admirable, and I think it looks like it's very interesting, and I think it's going to change a lot.
I still think if there, what I heard, there's no actual. You're actually not.
No,
a
there's
character.
No avatar. It's a
that
sort of detached.
Is, that
of
is ridiculous.
I mean, like that is the. I head scratching. I just don't understand.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies Crossing.
I just don't understand.
I have to say though that when I first saw it and they showed us the models, that my first inclination was that Rare started rendering things with hair. And something went wrong, and it looked like flaps of paper. And someone went, "Hey, you know what that looks like?"
As all Rare games begin their life with accidents. No.
All right, so we're going to take one last break, and when we come back on the backside, I guess we're going to talk about community stuff. We're going to respond to these listeners. Why do we have to, Skip?
Awesome.
We have to. Oh
we
my
get
gosh.
To take callers. Do we get to take?
We're headed that direction in a very scary way.
Yeah. I want to be here when that happens, for
I know.
Sure.
That'll be a blast. I can't wait to be abused. So we'll be back in just a moment. If you like what you're listening to on the One Up Yours podcast, we also do other shows on the One Up Radio Network, including the recently started CGW podcast. You might want to check that out. It's run by CGW's own Mr. Jeff Green, and he is the authoritative source in the community for PC games info. So give it a listen and check it out. All right, and we're back. And Skip's handed me a sheet here with some hot stuff from the community. The first couple of three are from Lilu5, so I'm just going to jump in and kind of lump them together. It's about talking about Linux and, you know, what the significance of Linux on the PS3 is and downloadable content. Which I know, John, you're kind of keyed in on the downloadable content thing.
I don't get the Linux on PS3 thing.
Yeah, so he basically says, what's with Linux? Which is the question, you know, and any references that, hey, Sony did that PS2 kit that you could get to do your own.
Well, there's bits of the guts of PS2 and PS3 that are open source based, but I think it has to be.
Yeah. They need an OS. They're not going to use Microsoft.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they're going to run Windows XP on a PS3.
Yeah, but I mean, downloadable content with that, I think it's a no-brainer. I think everyone's going to go that way. It's interesting that early on, Sony had said that they would never do that. Well, I don't know if they phrased it that way, but, you know, it was done in that usual, maybe if we ignore it, it'll go away way that Sony does things. But I think it's a really smart thing for them to do, and I think the sooner we can get to being able to download little games and movies and TV shows and music and everything on the PSP, the better. And please put a cable in the box, for God's sake.
I think it's really smart, though, that they're going with the really big hard drive, because if this system is going to be around for 5 years, everything is pointing to the fact that in the next couple years...
Full games are going to be downloaded.
Well, not necessarily games. I think that'll be a harder battle to fight, but movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
And
iTunes just launched.
But I don't know. Sony's got some mixed messages going on here, because are they going to want to do movie downloads for PS3 while they're pushing Blu-ray? I think they might want to push TV show down, like iTunes-type content for PSP, but on PS3 they have a pretty strong interest in making you buy those giant
discs. Selling those discs. Yeah, that's
good.
True.
That's a really good point.
And a movie in HD to download? No, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, download the first 3 seconds.
Your internet connection is going to time out at some point during that download. Yeah.
But I think the PSP, I think downloadable stuff is the way ahead. And if they hadn't got so much invested in UMD, I would say that one day they'll go that, you know, all the way and do everything and stick a hard drive in the thing.
Really?
I think PSP 2, whenever it happens... I think it's going to be an iPod. It's going to be an iPod. No physical media. You go and you just buy things. They have to
go to their iTunes.
Yeah,
second analog stick. I hope.
Please.
That's all I can.
Something a little more responsive than the nub is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I could make the nub work if there's a second one of them, but just one of them. Ugh.
So the next one was from DMCE, and this is kind of interesting. So does having Linux on a device like the PS3, which could be mass marketing a big thing, in any way threaten Microsoft's dominance of operating system world for PCs?
Man, all these Linux questions.
Yeah, I know, it's bizarre.
I thought I was a nerd. Who are these people listening to this show? No.
The Penguin Patrol is out.
I love you, audience. I'm a kid, but I love...
You know that the answer is really easy. No, it's not going to threaten the OS.
Please don't email me. Please don't email me.
Do you think that this PS3 is going to come in multiple packages?
No.
So it'll just be one package.
Yes.
And no changes in hard drives like you were talking about, Martin.
No. They'll redesign it in 3-4 years.
You think though that if they offer a hard drive, that it'll come out of the box? They won't make you buy it separately.
That would just be dumb.
But that'd be another $100 on the retail price.
But it would be stupid.
But that's
if it's not, if it's required. But
this is Sony. Look at the PS2 network adapter. Chink.
If it's required,
hard drive.
Underestimate the stupidity of corporations.
I think it's coming with. If you buy a PS3, it's going
to
have.
I think that's the smart way to do it. But I mean, if Blu-ray is as expensive to produce as people say, that. And the hard drive, it just seems too good to be true. And for a reasonable price,
that's why I'm saying
that's got
bucks.
Everything. Yeah. If that thing comes in at what were you saying, $399?
I said $499. I think it's going to lean toward $499.
If that comes in at $399 with a hard drive and a Blu-ray drive,
how much is a 60 gig hard drive really?
I don't know.
$40 or something.
Well, yeah, in quantity, it's not that big a cost.
I think it has to. I think.
I hope it does.
I hope it does. That would be amazing.
I think it'll come in the box, and you know that's one of the things that makes me excited. Is I'm excited to see a big hard drive coming in the box with the machine. I think that's the way to do it. I was so disappointed in the whole TARD pack thing.
It's got to be.
Regardless of who bought what, it's got to be there.
HDD is required. It's some big, bold letters.
A year from now or 2 years from now, this conversation is going to be like completely irrelevant.
Done.
It's got to have mass storage. There you go. And it's got to be bigger than the disks that you throw.
Hopefully by that point, we're starting to talk about solid-state storage. I mean, they're silly to even that we're even using spinning platters with little things to read off of them. You know?
I think we're way off.
Really?
I think we're way off usable, enormous amounts of solid-state.
Well, I tell you what, I'm excited to see it. I want to see that sometime. That's like in the edge of the geek world. Last question was from Nemo83. So they've been thinking about the controller, wondering if Sony is going to redesign it and then add new mechanics.
Linux.
Yeah, to use Linux. It'll be a Linux-based programmable controller.
Actually, part of this question?
It'll have a memory unit with a little screen on it that you can insert into it.
Ooh. I wrote a thing in OPM about this. I think absolutely they're going to redesign it. I think the banana at E3 was...
the banana.
I think it was an experiment.
I think it was on purpose.
I think it was on purpose to see how much change we would tolerate.
Yep.
And I think what they hopefully learned from that is that, what the hell are you thinking? But looking at it and sort of poking around, I mean, if that thing's supposed to be wireless, it needs power. And so unless they have some special miniature battery technology from space... there's no way you're going to get the batteries in the banana. Well, so
that's another part of the mention.
When we play that E3, it's going to be exactly the same. Silver DualShock.
It's going to be a silver DualShock with a big lump on the back.
Exactly.
That would be hilarious if that's what they end up with after that. I do think you guys, though, give them too much credit. I think that was the PS3 controller.
Oh, I think Kutaragi was, let's do something slim and elegant like totally impractical. And I think someone was like, let's see.
That's very sexy.
But I think it was only the outcry.
If only this was video.
And the pictures of Batman and the bananas that made everyone be like, okay. You know, it was like, it went over like New Coke. It was like, what the hell are you thinking?
And that's because there's nothing wrong with the DualShock 2.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see a silver DualShock that's wireless.
Right. I mean, I would happily take that Logitech thing rebranded Sony. That Logitech wireless pad
is
awesome.
Surprised that's what it is.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, best pad I've used. I don't know, 360 pad's pretty
360
good, too.
360 is pretty good.
360 pad is best PX2,
I should say. Actually, let me the 360 pad makes it now, it feels weird having two sticks next to it.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. So let me fix that. Best PS2 pad I used. I like it better than the first-party plug-in pad.
All right.
So I think we're done. Next week we got GDC. That should be a pretty exciting show.
You know what? Next week we promise we won't talk about Xbox Live much because we get a lot of criticism because we go back and forth on this a lot. So I think we'll just talk about the PS3 online service and try and not be.
Yeah, let's just give it all up. Let's just talk about Sony next week. I mean,
we may be talking about Nintendo.
We might be talking about Nintendo next week. Yeah, I would bet.
So what else we got? And so you could catch up with us on the message board to let us know how you liked the show this week. And
what's the message? Where is our message board?
Yeah, it's up in the right hand corner of oneup.com. It says boards. That's not
How do I go there?
What's the URL?
Is all of this because you don't know the URL? If you don't know the URL, just say it.
We don't know the URL, but if you go to podcast,
so you go to board and then to the podcast.
Go to podcast.oneup.com.
It's very easy to find us.
Link it from there.
Just you know, I think if you Google up Shane's name, that'll pop right to the arguments about from last week. And that's it. So we'll catch up with you next week after GDC. Thanks for listening. This has been One Up Yours, a production of the Ziff Davis Game Group and part of the One Up Network. One Up Yours is hosted by Garnet Lee and John Davison, produced by Andrew Pfister and Mike Ng, and is published every Friday afternoon via the iTunes Music Store and from its home at oneup.com.